Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's April the 2nd, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, Congress is considering a fallback extension of the Farm Bill. Independent truckers pulled off the road yesterday, and the EU has no plans to change its ban on hormone-treated beef. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many other ag news stories. And then, just after the bottom of the hour, don't forget, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. And along the way, we'll visit a Polish farm. It all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Closing Market Report is a production of WILL AM 580 Public Radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby May wheat, 41 and a half cents higher today, finished at 936 and a half, July at 950 and a half, up 38 cents, and July of 09 at 945, a settlement price 37 cents higher. Corn futures, 595 and three quarters, up 11 and three quarters. July at 609 and a quarter, 11 and a quarter higher. And September at 607 and three quarters, up 9 and a quarter. December futures at 603, up a dime. And December contract for 09, up 4 cents. And they settle at $5.50 for the day. May soybean futures, 1243, up 32. July at 1259 and a half, up 25 and a half. And the August soybeans, $12.52, 28 cents higher. November soybeans, $11.69 and three quarters, up 22 and one half cents. Soybean meal futures, May contract 331, up 50 cents. Soybean meal July 334.50, up a dollar. May bean oil at 55.05, up 290. July up 267 at 55.82. Live cattle futures, April contract 86.20, down $1.20. June off 57 and a half cents, down at 87.55. And the April feeders at 97.60, up a dollar, or rather down $1.52 and a half. May futures at 99.55, down 180 for the day. And the April lean hogs, $55.60 a hundredweight. They finished down 47 cents on the afternoon. Outside markets, taking a look at those numbers. Crude oil futures are now trading the May contract at $104.75 a barrel. They're up $3.77. June at $103.70, up $3.20 for the day. The CRB index at 391.05, that's up 6.12. And the U.S. dollar at 72.30, down 0.26 for the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is just about 74 points lower at 12,581 for the afternoon. April gold futures are now trading at $895.20, up $12.30 an ounce. And the May futures at $897.80. They're up $12.40 for the afternoon. The flash flood watch is in effect for all the far southern parts of Illinois and portions of southeastern Illinois and southwestern Indiana. That'll be in effect beginning late tonight through Friday afternoon. Here's what the forecast looks like for this evening from our own Mike Sola. He says tonight it'll become mostly cloudy. Rain arriving in the far southwestern part of Illinois overnight. Lows will range from 30 in northeastern Indiana to 43 in the far south. Along with that rain, a flood watch is in effect for portions of southern Indiana, that is, from tomorrow morning through Friday afternoon. Tomorrow in central and southern sections of the two-state region and the northwestern part of Illinois, skies will be cloudy, some showers, a few thunderstorms. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy with a chance for some showers during the afternoon. Highs will range tomorrow from 48 in northwestern Illinois to 60 in the southern part of Indiana. Excessive rain will spread across the southern third of Illinois and southern quarter of Indiana tonight through Friday with lesser amounts to the north. Flooding will return to fields that were flooded in March. Other areas may avoid flooding, but many places will remain too wet for field work and planning to begin for quite some time.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois campus. Joining us now from Oakland, Illinois, as he does each and every Wednesday, is analyst Paul Cooley with ADM Investor Services. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon on this bright, sunny, cool afternoon, and what a beautiful day in Central Illinois.
You know, I think last week when we talked to you, it was a gorgeous day.
Wait till the rain comes.
I know. It is. Yeah, we talk to you, the rain comes. But at least when we talk to you, Paul, it's always a good day. And it seems like it's always an up day as of late. Tell me about the marketplace today.
Well, the continuation of this very bullish corn dynamo that continues to generate higher prices is definitely a fact. The USDA, with basically their pig report that was extremely bullish, with their acreage report, and of course their stocks report that basically shocked the commodity world, as well as their increased soybean stocks number. And it did send a shockwave in the marketplace. Basically, as I understand it, we're trading higher today in wheat and beans than we did before the acreage report. And, of course, the corn market, and borrowing some philosophy from Informa today, says it needs to trade above the $6 level in corn here to get the additional acreage. Sometime in the June stocks report, we'll probably be trading in the $6.50 area, and of course, with any kind of weather problems, we'll probably shoot towards the $7 area. The big thing here in the corn market is we are hearing and getting phone calls that there might be some acreage shift back from beans into corn. It's very expensive, and weather isn't cooperating, and I always am amazed at that, and I ask some people about it, like in Iowa, where it is a little drier and a little easier to put corn on corn than, let's say, South Illinois. And their comment is that their bankers and lenders have told them that if you're going to borrow the money, you need to sell some of this corn. So the selling was pretty active in the new crop of corn in Iowa, based on the concept that raising grain, and it's more profitable to raise corn than soybeans, and so we're going to go for the big football pass, the home run here, and go for more corn acres.
Yeah, so a home run, more corn acres. What do you think? Let me ask this in a kind of two-part question. The first part is, how much do you think farmers changed their mind from the time that the survey was done by March 1st to the time that that we saw the survey on Friday of last week, that month? And then how much more do you think they will change? So is the question is, I guess this, is it possible that they, between March 1 and March 31, that they switched a good deal of those acres back to corn already or have thought about it? And then how many more can we buy with $6 corn or $6.50 corn?
Yeah. You know, the 90 million acres at the Commodity Outlook deal in Washington was just a hope to slow the runaway train down, and it was very creative balancing. And that was error number one. The marketplace basically anticipated this acreage, and it was right in tune. And, of course, I mentioned to you on Commodity Week that it was 3 million acres that we weren't sure when it was going to show up and how, and they did very carefully bring it out in this report with additional bean acres. The big thing here, of course, the surprise was the 75 million acres that they underestimated last year's soybean crop, and that was the shock wave and helped. And you know, the market was going through a crisis in liquidity with the tight money in Wall Street, LaSalle Street, and in all financial markets in the world. You know, I didn't believe last fall that the bean crop was as small as it was, and mysteriously they found those bushels this time. As far as paying the bill and writing the big checks, my hunch is that there will be 1 million or 2 million acres. It's possible, weather permitting, to get this additional corn acres. But, the crop insurance still rewards people with a fairly good soybean price. I don't sense the urgency with the higher price fertilizer to make the big shift in a lot of areas. I think it's the more productive areas of central Drummer Flanagan black soil, some of those go-go areas in Iowa that have a tendency to raise corn easier, corn on corn, than they do in parts of the other parts of the Midwest. So it's going to be a factor. My guess is it's going to be a modest factor, but it depends on the planting weather in that April 15th to May the 20th time frame.
Well, let me ask this then. Do you agree with the bankers if they're going to go ahead and borrow the money, or they're going to go ahead and put these, if they decide to put corn acres in rather than the soybeans, do
they
sell?
My hunch is that I wouldn't do it yet. I think we have more on the upside. Most of the people that played the corn game last year in the commodity game, probably don't need to go to the bank in the third place. These
right.
guys have got a lot of cash and a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
My hunch is that I don't think that with this market conditions the way they are, I would definitely be bullish here and waiting for some higher corn prices to reward the market with. I wouldn't jump out the window right now because it's just too dynamic, and particularly with the Secretary of Agriculture basically coming out again and saying we're not going to release any CRP acres until the June time frame. That'll be next year, and the mathematical model is just such that we just don't have enough acres to make the game play here in the U.S. The Department of Agriculture, just wants to say, well, we've got enough wheat, maybe have enough beans, and we have a pretty good crop coming on in South America. But in order to just to prevent this real strong market here, possibly going higher of $6, it's just not in the game right now. And a person can go on and panic but sell it cheap, but I think there's better prices down the road.
Are you as patient with soybeans?
Well, the soybean market is a little different animal because we are going to see more acres in South America get planted, this coming year. And we are going to see more acres planted here in the U.S. And a $12 soybean is a little different. That will encourage a lot of oil seeds planted. So my hunch is that, if we can get a solid bid of $12 a bushel, hopefully that would be in the cash market, I'd reward the market there. But I'd be a little reluctant there. And as I mentioned before, I would have rewarded the market on these old crop beans at these higher levels here. I just think that it was thing to do was reward the market on those old, on the old beans.
Paul, thanks much.
Have a profitable day, Todd.
You too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Wednesday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Dave Dickey is here now. He'll take a complete look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
In agricultural news, Washington Insider is reporting that Congress may consider a third short-term extension of the 2002 Farm Bill, something the Bush administration has expressly said it does not want. The White House wants a one-year Farm Bill extension if Congress does not reach a deal by April 18th. Sources say the Bush administration may support a short-term extension if Congress is close to finalizing a bill. Lawmakers are saying that unless significant progress is reached by the end of this week, Congress will need to consider a fallback strategy, ranging from a 30 to 60-day extension or a long-term extension of 1 to 2 years. National Cattlemen's Beef Association lobbyist Colin Woodall says he expects a long-term extension.
They're always getting real close to a deal. But we've been real close to a deal for a couple of months now. We were talking about being real close to a deal for March 15th. Well, that came and went with nothing. And now, actually, when you look at the financial side, we are in a much worse position financially as far as trying to pay for this bill than we were in early March. The decision to finally decide exactly how much we're going to spend on this and how we're going to pay for it is a long way away, I'm afraid.
Congressional Farm Bill negotiators remain at odds over how to pay for roughly $10 billion in funding over the baseline. Independent truckers pulled their rigs off the road and others slowed to a crawl yesterday on major U.S. highways to protest the high cost of diesel fuel. Truckers are hoping the action might pressure the Bush administration to stabilize prices by using the nation's oil reserves. The European Union says it will not change its ban on beef treated with certain hormones, despite a decision this week by the World Trade Organization saying the ban violates international trade rules. The WTO announcement means that Canada and the U.S. will continue about $125 million a year in sanctions against the EU on a wide range of products, including cheese, chocolate, truffles, and onions. And France's parliament began debate yesterday on a law governing GMOs. The EU required member states to formulate laws on GMOs as early as 2001, but France has dragged its feet amid deep divisions over the issue. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL, Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Up next, the European Union has expanded its area in the last decade to include several former Eastern Bloc countries. Poland is among them. I visited that picturesque Polish countryside last year and asked farmers there how they were subsidized. Outside Krakow, in the foothills of the mountains of southern Poland, the land is serene and the people are very friendly and musical. They love to host. It's a place filled with cottages and meadows and centuries worth of history. But it is the last 70 to 90 years that's important to our story today. During the Stalinist era, Leopold Grabowski says his farm was considered big and that they had a not-so-nice name for it.
This, during the Stalinist years, was referred to as the Kulak farm. That was kind of nasty term for the big farmers, for the big farmers who were not politically, you know, acceptable.
The farm's a little more than 12 acres in size.
And 90% of arable land, of plowed land, will be used for blackcurrant.
There are meadows and livestock here on the hillsides of Poland, of course, too. And while the countryside itself is steeped in history, Leopold says this working farm is not so old, but certainly out of date. It was built and machined well after the Stalinist era gave way. Just about the same time, U.S. agriculture made a big economic leap forward in the 1970s.
But then, in 1970s and in 1980s, there was a huge demand for food, and all that has been built was built in those years. It was a good time to... The house, the farming buildings, the machinery, the tractors, all of that was bought at that time. So actually all of that is over 30 years old.
Let's call that the antiquing of Polish agriculture. The last 30 years have been a transitional time from communism and five-year plans to capitalism and, well, five-year governmental marketing plans. We call subsidies. In the European Union, it is the common agricultural policy. Polish farmer Leopold Grabowski, now subject to that policy, says it limits his ability to compete on the open market.
The problem is the subsidies are the same as in EU in terms of percentages, but they are not the same in terms of absolute values. So Polish farmers get 50% of what EU 15 farmers would get. And this is a problem for Polish farming, because Polish farming cannot become competitive, well, because it's been destined not to become so.
It's an interesting choice of words, but maybe more true than you might think. Polish farming cannot become competitive because it is destined not to. It is, however, destined to stay beautiful and small. Just to buy new livestock, a Polish farmer must apply for a permit, that from the Polish government, not the EU. But he also receives cap subsidies to stay small, or big, the term's relative. Here, where the mountainside meadows are steep, there's an environmental payment to protect wildlife, rabbits. All you have to do to collect is to mow the pasture by hand. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. Online with us this afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market for Wednesday is Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana. Hi, Kay.
Good afternoon to you, Todd.
Sunshiny skies and beautiful here in Champaign-Urbana. I suspect the same there in Terre Haute.
It's an absolutely beautiful day here, and let me tell you, we need it.
We do need it.
We need it.
We're all wet, so hopefully we'll start to dry out soon, and I bet farmers are really starting to get the itch about now, aren't they?
They're getting nervous, really, because, you know, we've got anywhere from 2 to 5 inches of rain, according to the Weather Channel, coming in here probably tomorrow and Friday, then rain again Monday and Tuesday. We're just saturated here, and even the sand ground, who knows when they're going to be able to get back out there. So, yeah, nerves are a little on edge.
Are they satisfied with the sales, the old and new crop that they've made to this point, and can they make more?
Well, they can still make more here. We can go out 12 months, and I can't say that they're all satisfied with what they've done because, you know, they were starting to contract corn at $4 for next year. So, you know, I wouldn't say they're totally satisfied, especially with input costs going up, but right now, they're just taking a wait-and-see attitude. I'm buying some cash corn, but very little, if any, new crop sales are being done at this time, Todd.
How's your rail holding up to the southwest or southeast?
The rail bids are doing okay. They just now, there's still a little pressure on the nearby because the farmers, they can't get in the field, so they're content to haul. So we've slipped a little on the nearby, but the deferreds keep getting a little bit better, and believe it or not, even new crop is just showing a little sign of maybe improving just a little bit.
And then I must ask you, what's your feeling about the purchase of ConAgra by Osprey?
You know, really, we're pretty enthused about it because it's just going to be a lot different than being under the corporate umbrella. There's going to be a lot of relaxation of rules. And you know, right now, you know, they do not know how to run elevators. We do. Hopefully that there won't be any big changes. And if there are, it's going to be a little ways down the road. But right now, it's business as usual. So right now, we're pretty excited about it, Todd.
Well, I bet you will put them right in their place so they know how to run those elevators, won't you?
Well, we're going to try.
Hey, what are your bids for the day?
All right, our cash corn is $5.76, cash beans $11.91, and new crop wheat is $7.31 today.
Thanks much, Kay. You have a good afternoon.
Thank you.
Kay Whitlock is with Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana. She joins us here on the Closing Market Report that happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. In just 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural weather. Drew Lerner will join us.
It's National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day. There does not seem to be any references to PBJs before 1940, but in World War II, soldiers were given rations of both peanut butter and jelly. When the war was over and GIs returned to the States, sales of peanut butter and jelly soared. By the way, the first known cookbook that contains recipes for fruit preserves was written in 14 AD. Peanut butter was invented in 1890, almost 1,900 years later. On this day in agricultural history in 1819, the periodical American Farmer was founded by John Skinner. begun as a weekly in Baltimore. The stated purpose of the periodical was to collect information from every source on every branch of husbandry. Skinner edited American Farmer for a decade before selling the magazine in 1830. By the way, the earliest issues also included a sports column, often focusing on horses and hounds. In 1863, the Richmond Bread Riots broke out. Shortages of food caused hundreds of angry women to march on Richmond, Virginia, and then on the governor's office, and then on the government commissary. It ended in a riot when they broke into the commissary and then other shops and buildings and carried out anything they could carry. Even the hospital reported losing over 300 pounds of beef. In 1872, George Brayton received a patent for the U.S. commercial gasoline engine. Its principle of continuous ignition later became the basis for the turbine engine. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner. He's the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Better concentrate on the Midwest and the wet weather for me.
Yes, indeed. It does look like this saga will continue for a while longer. Of course, we do have a new wave of precipitation headed for the region as we go through the night tonight and on into Friday morning. The precipitation is expected to be great enough to cause some renewed flooding across portions of the region from Missouri into Ohio and Kentucky. We don't expect the majority of the flood water to be any worse than it was the last time around. So that's the only good news we can give you, is that no new cropland will be inundated with flooding. However, the amount of precipitation that occurs will still be great enough to worsen some of the soggy conditions out there, with standing water in low-lying areas continuing to be an issue, and that continues to be a threat, of course, to soft wheat crop, and it further delays our potential for planting. And at this point, the planting potential is pretty much out of the realm of possibilities, I think, and through the middle part of this month, or at least through the 15th of April for many areas, simply because this isn't the only rain event that's on the charts right now that's of significance. We're still expecting to see a rather significant follow-up storm possibly next week, starting about maybe Tuesday and going into Thursday or Friday. And again, widespread precipitation will occur throughout the Corn Belt, and we'll see enough precipitation once again to keep the flood potential with us in the lower parts of the region. So it's not a pretty picture, and it's not going to get a whole lot better for a while. We still think that the upper parts of the Midwest are going to trend wetter as time moves on, and we'll stop the rains in the Ohio River Valley, but this is going to take a few weeks to evolve.
So an upper part of the Midwest getting wetter. They haven't been as wet. The bottom part, soggy as a son of a gun. Who's likely to move first, given weather conditions at this point, do you think?
We'll probably see some field work take place in portions of the western Corn Belt for a very brief period of time before they turn too wet, like places in Kansas, maybe a few spots in southwest Iowa or Nebraska. We'll probably get some seed into the ground before their weather turns a little bit too wet as well. And then we'll wait a little while, and then the Ohio River Basin will open up fairly quickly, and we should see some aggressive fieldwork taking place there in the latter half of May.
You just pushed the market higher.
Freudian slip there, folks. Sorry about that. No, latter half of April going into May, and I fully expect us to have only a couple percentages of planting done when we get to the 15th of April, and that's not very good, and certainly by the time we get to the end of April, we'll be lucky if we've got a third of the crop in the ground, I think.
And then a quick look at South America for me.
Everything there seems to be okay. Argentina is not likely to see a lot of precipitation for a while, and that's good news for them as they try to mature their crop and get it ready for harvesting. There is a dry pocket in eastern portions of Argentina that is of issue for the late season double crop beans, and I don't see any big improvement coming for them, at least not for a 10-day period, and then they'll start raining again. And Brazil looks pretty good, except for their center-south production region, where we're going to see some moderate to heavy rainfall occur again this coming Thursday through Saturday, and then drier weather after that.
Drew, thanks much.
Have a good day.
Drew Lerner is the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Have a good afternoon.